BIPOC, that our allies now are understanding that, you know what, we have to acknowledge and support Black and brown folks so that we don't lose our civil liberties in this country.
Okay, Sister Audrey?
What we've talked about have just made me stronger, and I work with youth, a lot of youth, and I will definitely tell them about, look, it's time to let's go and let's show up, and now is the time to stay focused and to do what you believe and what's encouraged to do what is right. So go vote. So thank you for those encouraging remarks from Brother Blanco. So for all the work you've done as a union activist, thank you so much for all the work. And the political hailstorm is fast and furious. Safeguard for your mental health and well-being. So thank you for continually being out there guiding us and the youth through being politically active. I'd like to say the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists meets the second Tuesday of every month at 6 p.m. We have suspended our face-to-face meetings and are utilizing Google Meet to conduct our monthly meetings. Our next meeting will be held August the 13th, 2024.
So once again, our show is not an endorsement of any specific candidate or party, but should be considered as a guideline on how to address your specific needs with local, state, and congressional candidates here in Oregon and Southwest Washington. Our email address is orcbtu10@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Join us in our evolving adventure of representing Black union workers. Once again, I'd also like to thank Brother Blanco for helping us navigate through this crazy, crazy world of politics. So with that, I'm going to say, holla.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Good evening. You're listening to Prison Pipeline here on KBOO Community Radio. Tonight we're talking with Jim Cox, the Vice President of Correctional Education at Ashland University. Jim, welcome to Prison Pipeline.
Thank you very much. So glad to be here. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Let's start. First of all, can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what do you do?
Great. Thank you. Well, I had a background in the business of healthcare for quite a while, but when I started migrating out of that, I found myself engaging as an adjunct professor with Ashland University, actually teaching in several different correctional facilities. And over time, really had the honor and the pleasure of moving up, if you will, through the business channel and ultimately as vice president of the Correctional Education Division. And that is the primary arm that delivers the programs from Ashland University, its various colleges, to the incarcerated men and women that we have sites for, and then also to formerly incarcerated throughout the nation. So my role, though it had been as a teacher, as an instructor, is primarily administrative now, and I have just several wonderful people that I am able to engage with and faculty to deliver that program.
Now, Ashland University, that's in Ohio, but you provide education to people who are incarcerated outside of Ohio too, is that correct?
Yes. So Ashland's North Central Ohio, in Ashland University in Ashland, Ohio. Really a beautiful place. We do have, about half or so of our enrollment is from students on campus, like many campuses, like most campuses. But we instruct currently incarcerated in 13 states in the District of Columbia. It's about 120 prison facilities, ranging from minimum to maximum security. And we also provide online education to formerly incarcerated or justice impacted individuals throughout the nation as well.
Now, I mean, what I've been seeing a lot in the correctional institutions lately is those tablets. It's like the things that people are kind of learning on. They do a little bit of email with them. Is that how you provide most of your educational content?
Yes, that's correct. Couple things, and I know we talked about this previously. So tablets had come into play originally to provide the media that the incarcerated folks work with, you know, the music and videos, et cetera, or other sort of communication. And now it's grown into even more commercial-based equipment. So you'll see a Lenovo tablet in there, for instance, or a Chromebook. And the value of that is there's so much more functionality than the old basic tablet. So the men and women are able to work more functionally like you or I would on a laptop, for instance. And that's powerful and important for their education. So that is the primary deliver, an online, or as we say, distance education. It's very well recognized as a modality. We're all aware of the large universities in the United States who provide online training or education. But we also have an on-site Ashland University employee, a site director, and they are a liaison with the student, Ashland University, in the correctional facility. They're a motivator. So though they don't instruct, that's the instructor, of course, they provide all the surrounding support and liaison, as I mentioned. So it's a bit of a hybrid that we do. But yes, we teach through those devices that we talked about.
Mm-hmm. So how many people do you provide education services to nationwide?
Yeah, so we have for the currently incarcerated, we run three full semesters, fall, spring, and summer. And each semester, anywhere between 2,800 to 3,000 men and women engage with us and work through classes like any college student.
So do people choose to take these classes, or is it part of their sentencing? What kind of classes are they taking?
Yeah, I'm not aware that the justice system indicates or directs them. We have full academic autonomy, as any university does, and that's one of the beauties of in the United States. So the men and women, as they enter college, they meet with academic advisors, just like any student. They work with their site director. They work with the financial aid folks, complete a FAFSA like any student. And as a result of, and I'll come back to the FAFSA and the financial aid in a minute, but their academic journey, they have access to all of the online programming that a free world individual would, and they choose that based on their interests. Now, the only thing we have to be very mindful of is we don't and can't provide education to an incarcerated person that leads to something they are barred from entering, you know, because of their charge. So we have robust and very good majors and courses that they choose, but we have to be mindful of where they could lead based on their charge.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. So it's basically just like going to an online university then.
Yeah. Yeah. It very, very much so, except that, you know, the environment is obviously an incarcerated environment and there are particular considerations and security things that we need to keep in mind. But yes, that's right.
And is this the same thing as GED in high school, or are you do you not do that?
Correct. We do not do that. So, I'll speak about Ohio, for instance, and many states do this. A person who's incarcerated who has not achieved their high school diploma by law goes after and has to achieve their GED. And just like any college or university, a student needs to have a high school diploma or GED in order to be admitted. So somebody who hasn't done that yet, they're not ready for college, but many states, many prisons do provide that high school level training.
Okay, so people can't enter your program unless they at least have their GED.
Correct. And cool. Most states do skill up or train up, educate individuals to that level. So it's a great partnership with the Department of Corrections.
Yeah. Do you have any idea of how many people This is maybe outside of your field, but do you have any idea of how many people who are incarcerated do have at least their GED or their high school diploma?
Gosh, I don't know those statistics. I guess the best I can do without doing a little research and getting back to you is this. You know, research does show, and particularly the RAND study back in 2015, which led to this, you know, the Pell dollars coming back into play. Education is a great lift for folks, and it's sequential. So states want to see folks with that, at least that high school GED. I don't know if it's, you know, half of the folks or a quarter of the folks, but I do know there's a great many in Ohio, for instance, that do not have a high school equivalent. And so there is a whole school system. It's the largest in the state, for instance, that focuses on individuals getting their GED. So it's notable.
Even it's significant.
Yeah,
it's significant. Now, people who come to your school and take the online university, I mean, I meet these people when I'm in prison. And, you know, I have to be honest. One of the things I wonder is, I think it's really great that people get educated when they're in school. But one of the things I wonder is, will they really be able to use their degrees when they get out of prison? You know, I hear people say, well, I got my bachelor's degree in prison. And I'm like, when you get out of prison, are people going to respect that certificate? That's what I wonder.
That's a great question. And it's certainly one that many organizations and aspects of higher education are working on. But the good news is there has been a huge move, especially over the past 5 to 10 years, from punitive to restorative actions. And so there are far more second chance or felony friendly employers, fair chance employers, than there were, 10, 20 years ago. They, in fact, the employers are looking to Ashland and our other colleges and universities in this space to help create direct pathways and pipelines into the employers. So if ABC manufacturer or ABC service company says, hey, I need these kind of classes and skills, we are actually beginning to work with them to guide that student towards that outcome if that's what they want to do. There's also other national organizations that, for instance, Ashland works with, and I'm sure others do, called Handshake is one of them. Honest Jobs. Honest Jobs, Harley Blakeman began a program. I think all of his staff are formerly incarcerated, and their main goal is to create that pipeline for people coming out of prison into felony-friendly employers. So now, do I think the world is perfect? No, there's a lot of work to do, and where that work is coming out is, how can we create direct pipelines and pathways for men and women coming out of prison into those really life-sustaining wage jobs and careers? So the good news is there's far more interest and excitement and demand for that. One other comment, as we've all heard, and this is true, a lot of our respected older citizens in the United States are retiring, and we have a lack or dearth of workers. And there are men and women in prison right now who are wonderful individuals, who are anxious to engage in the employment area. And so there's a real interest and desire and demand to engage with these men and women. So building those pipelines makes a lot of sense and is getting some good results.
Yeah, I really appreciate hearing that, because one of the biggest problems that AICs have when they get out of prison is just finding good, meaningful work. And one of the things that I hear expressed most often from people is they have anxiety about what they're going to do. And I mean, there's a lot of trades programs. I mean, like at the women's prison, I mean, some of the most popular trades programs are the salon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know that people get some skills, but the idea of being able to do something more than just being one of the flaggers, which is great. I mean, it's great that the flagging industry has always been so open and welcoming to felons. But, you know, in order to really have some grounding in this economy, in the workforce, in today's workforce, you really need to have that education. And It's great to hear about this. What are some of the programs that are the most popular that people are studying with your university?
Yeah, so there's an individual, just like a couple comments, an individual, just like somebody who had taken previous college before, if they have prior college, those transcripted credits are evaluated. So individuals may begin with Ashland and already be, you know, well down the road towards a diploma degree. And individuals with this can work towards an associate's or a bachelor's, depending on the program. The programs, the majors that they can go after primarily rest in business or communications or other majors that have a general but certain specific training. Those are some of the example of the majors. There's a number of minors that they can augment with, and so a number of our students will have a major and a minor. The minors can be everything from sociology, other various business ones, religion, Christianity, addictions, different things that they might have an interest in that supplement and provide a little additional focus to their more broadly based major. The majors are liberal arts, and so while there's focus, say, in the business classes, of course, they are studying a broad humanities course of study. So it provides an opportunity for the men and women to explore other interests. And it's not unusual for an individual, like any other kid going to college, to change a major, you know, as they're working through the courses. So I gave you a high level. There's several sub majors, if you will, and minors as well.
You're listening to Prison Pipeline here on KBOO Community Radio. We're talking with Jim Cox, the Vice President of Correctional Education at Ashland University. Yeah, I know that getting a broad liberal arts education is the goal of most institutions of higher learning. I mean, teaching people how to be critical thinkers. And we're talking about adults in custody, folks who are in prison getting college degrees while they're in prison, and what a difference that makes to their quality of life, to their self-esteem, and to their possibilities once they get out of school. What do you have any statistics, Jim, on what kind of a difference does it make to an AIC, to an adult in custody, to have a college degree when they open those gates and let them out?
Yeah, the largest study, the RAND study in 2015, showed that recidivism went down significantly. Instead of, I want to remember the exact stats because I haven't quoted them in a while, but somebody who goes to the prison system without education, and by the way, although I'm representing higher education, you mentioned the trades and vocational, that can also be brought into this. Education in and of itself, regardless of its outcome, is critical. So somebody engaging in education, it's multiple times, 10 times plus less likely that they would recidivate. And of course, that's a general, the individuals, there's individual issues that have to be concerned. So the success and outcome of solid education is critical and shows that outcome. What we're trying to do is now, and this is a challenge in the United States, is find out what happened to that individual once they're out of prison with the education. What kind of level of job or career did they enter into? Did they, turn over in their jobs? And so what we're trying to do is connect with the states, the DOCs, Department of Corrections, who are very willing to work with us. They're great partners, and work with their state agencies that we can try to assess that and find that out so that we can continue to do a better job preparing these individuals to reenter, and then working with his employers to, find that stable career. So I can certainly provide some more reference data to you, and you could, relate that on your radio show. I'd be happy to do that.
Another thing that you mentioned earlier in the conversation, you mentioned that you don't just offer services to adults in custody, but also to people who are in parole and post-release. Tell me about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So the universities, in my case, Ashland, that engage with currently incarcerated individuals, we recognize that it's not just about going to school. It is about all of the trauma, the circumstances that existed prior to incarceration, during, and as you mentioned, as they re-engage with their loved ones and back into community. There are a number of formerly incarcerated or even diversionary, let's say justice impacted, who didn't go to prison, but are still somehow impacted by the justice system, that for whatever reason, they didn't go to college. Maybe they weren't encouraged, maybe financially, maybe it was a cultural, ethnic kind of thing that they weren't encouraged family-wise, who are ready for college, want to go to college. So we've put together a program that is just like any other student, Pell funded. They apply through the FAFSA and are admitted and worked with not only academically, but we provide a lot of wraparound services, not only in-house, but with other third-party agencies to meet these individuals, these men and women, where they're at. Somebody may be just coming out of prison. As we know, they're dealing with the basics of housing and transportation and employment. So we're working with parole and probation to help incorporate education into that priority. It might not be the next day when they're out. It could be within a year. It could be 5 years later. But if individuals who have are ready for that, they may have a job. We have a program that they can take the online courses when they're ready and at any time of day. So it's called asynchronous. If 3 a.m. is when they want to study, they can study at 3 a.m. And these are 8-week courses so that they can achieve progress and they can see progress quickly. They can get to their goal quickly. And let's say they needed to stop out something with kids or the job and they needed to step out for a few semesters. That's fine. Come on back to us when you're ready. So there's quite a bit of surrounding services, trying to develop it where we can meet people where they're at to encourage them, providing all sorts of, I'll say counseling in the sense of academic. If somebody did have a mental behavior health concern, we do have those services as well, very private and confidential. And then combined with the pathways into employment, we try to provide that lift up that people are looking for. And I'd say one other thing, it's not just for individuals who are recently out of prison. It's for individuals who may have been out 10 or 15 years. Maybe they're more stable in their life. They said, I'm ready for college. So it's trying to make it financially and from a study standpoint, very accessible to these individuals.
Now, we all know that college costs money. I mean, it's gotten more and more expensive every day to go to college. And I remember when I went to school, I had to I had to have a job outside of school. That was stressful. Then take out loans. It was so great when I finally paid off all my student loans.
Oh, congratulations.
How do people in prison, how do adults in custody pay for this? How is this paid for?
Yeah, this is great. So it's the same for currently incarcerated as well as formerly incarcerated. First of all, they fill out a FAFSA just like you and I would. And that goes to the federal government, and they evaluate based on what their assets are and so on. So obviously, somebody who's currently incarcerated usually doesn't have assets, and so they're qualified for a full Pell award. Although I will say there are some in prison who do have assets or they're dependents of their parents, and so we work with folks who don't qualify for Pell, and they come up with a self-pay or there's veterans or tribal funds. So all of what we do for the currently incarcerated is whatever the funding mechanism is, that's what we accept. In other words, we're not trying to strap an individual with more debt. They don't walk out of prison with a degree and having a large debt at all. In fact, they don't have a debt unless there's a very specific self-pay arrangement. For the formerly incarcerated, again, they fill out a FAFSA. And we have set our tuition rates that's the cost of our tuition compared to this this demographic. We arrange it so that it's a very, very accessible, and I will say the lowest cost per credit hour in the United States, that these individuals can not only pay for their tuition, they can get their books, whether it's online or a real book, or and to pay for a laptop if they need. So Our goal is to educate and not strap individuals with debt. And that's been a lot of hours thinking that out, what the model is, and it seems to be working well.
Now, do other institutions of higher learning honor these degrees? I mean, people who've gotten out and say they want to go out and pursue a master's degree or advanced learning, where, say, a bachelor's is required, or an associate's degree. Do other institutions of higher learning honor these degrees?
Absolutely. A person who's incarcerated gets a degree isn't getting a, you know, incarcerated or corrections degree. It says Ashland University Bachelor of Arts or Science, and it is the same as a kid who comes on campus. In fact, at our May graduation, one of our valedictorians was an incarcerated gentleman out of Arkansas, rather, and brought a tear to my eye because I had a chance to write his mother and send her a copy of the program, and it was very cool. So those degrees, as they put on their resume or they're applying for a master's or doctorate, and we have a number of men and women who have done that, that's a bona fide valid degree. And even a more important, I would say, or more important recognition is that as people come out of prison who've been with us, they may not have completed their degree. They can complete their degree under the same financial and educational arrangement, so they're not suddenly being thrown into a tizzy with that. And those credits, even if they don't stay with us, are transferable. Now, they go to a different college. Each college evaluates those transcripts and applies their credit hour recognition. But all of our classes, all of the credit hours that the students earn are recognized and validated by our accrediting agency and by the Department of Education. It's not anything different or anything stepping away from what a kid on campus would take or achieve.
Great, thanks. Jim, we just have a few minutes left. Are there any highlights that we haven't touched on so far with Ashland University and its program for providing higher education to adults in custody that you'd like to mention?
Yeah, just a few things. One is we've enjoyed the leadership of our most, he just left us for another position. Dr. Carlos Campo was a phenomenal leader in what we're doing. We have a new president, President Petey, who has been at a national level, and he too is a strong supporter. The reason why I mention this is there is such a need to provide educational services to men and women who are incarcerated or formerly incarcerated. There needs to be more universities involved, and many are looking at that. The men and women who are incarcerated or transitioning out are valuable, important men and women to our society. They have had some challenges. It's not the preferable path, but that life experience can lead to powerful, wonderful things as they want and achieve things like careers and family and going to that soccer game and doing good things. I've seen many people accomplish that. Light bulb goes off. And I'll close with this because it's neat. I was going into a grocery store just before COVID, and one of my former students called me, Mr. Cox, across the parking lot, and he only wanted to introduce me to his teenage daughter, who he was very proud was beating him in her grades in high school versus him in college, though he was doing pretty well too. Men and women coming out of prison should be seen as very valuable reentrance into society, and that's what Ashland's mission and heart is. And we have more work to do. We're not there, but we're taking those steps to get closer and closer. So we're excited to continue doing this good work.
Thanks, Jim. With the couple of minutes that we have left, what's the future of the corrections education program at Ashland? Do you think you'll be expanding your services and offerings?
Yeah, yes, definitely. We all universities, so President Obama began the Second Chance Pell. President Trump restored the Pell funding that went into place in July 1st of 23. All of the universities are applying to be called what's a prison education provider. We, along with others, are headlong into that process. Once approved, we do intend to expand our reach and to do as much as we can. We're also hoping to create further collaborations with two-year colleges so we can engage more students or encourage other four-year schools to do the same. There's so Ashland humbly said, we're a leader because of our breadth, and we hope to continue and engage with our colleagues to reach more men and women in prison and formerly incarcerated as well.
Thanks. And Jim, finally, if people would like to learn more about the offerings that Ashland University gives to adults in custody, or if they want to find out about getting this programming at their at their correctional institution, or if somebody's incarcerated and they hear about this and they want to inquire about this, how can they make contact to take that first step?
Absolutely. So certainly ashland.edu. If you just want general information on the little search icon, you can put in correctional education. If you're an individual who's formerly incarcerated, you can go to the ashland.edu and you'll see an apply now. And that will, it's just like an online student, and that'll put you into touch with the right screens at that point. And if anybody has questions for me, you can reach me at jcox1, J-C-O-X-1, at ashland.edu. And very welcome to respond or put you in touch with the professionals that you need to talk to.
Thanks so much. We've been talking today with Jim Cox, the Vice President of Correctional Education at Ashland University, about adults in custody and post-custody getting their higher education degrees. So, Jim, thanks so much for joining us today on Prison Pipeline.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, and thanks for all the good work you're doing. Appreciate it.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive?
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282 BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
1, 2, 3, 4.